And I know that you made that choice. For most of you, it was made a long, long time ago that whenever God's people would be together, that you were going to be here. But I'm so thankful that that's where your priorities are. And I hope and pray that our time together tonight is going to be a blessing to you, helpful. And we're going to be studying from God's Word, a subject that's a challenging subject, but one that I believe that we all really need to pay attention to and to be obedient. First of all, I do want to say thank you for praying for our family. And I know that so many, many people prayed for us during some tough times. And if you were not around then, didn't hear, our oldest daughter and her husband were expecting twins. And Laura was about 5.5 months along. And we lost the little girl at one point. We're trying to save the little boy. Lasted another 10 days. And we were hopeful that we might could save him. But she went back into labor once again. And we lost him too. And It's a very trying and difficult time. Some of you know what that's like. Some of you have been in similar situations and realize the pain and the hurt and the loss in a unique kind of way. But I tell you, it means so much to know that so many people care. And the fact that you have prayed for me is one thing, but the fact that you prayed for my child and for my family, that means more than words can say. And I would love to know, I would love to be able to know sometime how many prayers were prayed for us and for that situation as we were going through those times. I know that there were multiplied thousands, and it's a humbling thing, and it is a comfort in a time of difficulty. I would like to encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 5 and verse 16. I love your theme for this summer. We're talking about one another passages and what God says that we are to do for one another. You know, God could have saved us and stuck us off all by ourselves and said, have at it. Live the Christian life. Do what you're supposed to do all on your own without help from a family, without help from brothers and sisters in Christ. But that's not what He did. Now, I hear many people say, as you probably do too, well, you know, it's really not that important to be a part of a church. You know, you can just love God and try to do right and help your neighbor. And you know, I can read my Bible on my own. I can pray on my own. Church is not something that's all that important. Well, you know, they say you can read your Bible on your own. I don't know what Bible they're reading if they're coming up with that, because my Bible tells me the church is important and that one another is very important. And this whole one another thing is God's design. He put us together for one another. Now, sometimes it's a challenge because sometimes we annoy each other. Sometimes we drive each other crazy. Sometimes we hurt each other. But we still need one another. And when you go through difficult times and difficult days and your church family responds to you and you see that you're not alone, that's one of the times that you realize it's a blessing to have one another. But we have responsibilities to one another. And you're going to be talking about, you have been talking about those various responsibilities throughout this summer, and you'll be looking at a lot more. But as I was given the opportunity to choose a one another passage to talk about, I chose this one. And a lot of people might try to avoid one like this, because I will tell you, I believe this is probably the hardest one that you'll talk about this summer. I think this is probably the hardest one another passage to truly be obedient to. And here's what it says, James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, one of the things that we see in religion in general is that there is often a reaction to an extreme that produces another extreme. And as we see in some religious groups, there is what we think of as a forced confession. You have to go to a priest. You don't have the full right to approach God all on your own. You have to have some other official church leader that's recognized that you go and you confess your sins to him, and then he is your go-between you and God, and he's the one who gets you forgiveness or prescribes what kind of penance that you're supposed to do. And we know that that's not what the Bible teaches about a Christian, that Christians, we are all a royal priesthood, that we all have access to God through our only high priest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So to get forgiveness from God, we don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to have a little confessional booth somewhere that until we do this that we can't get right with God. That's an extreme. That's wrong. But I'm afraid sometimes that in reacting to that extreme, we may have gone to the other side, to the other extreme, and said, okay, I have no responsibility to other people. The only person I need to confess my sins to is to God and God alone. And I don't have any responsibility or obligation to ever confess my sin to someone else. Well, that's not what we just read in this passage. It says, confess your trespasses. Some translations say sins. Confess your sins to one another. Now, I want us to take some time to look at this evening and to see a word at a time or a concept at a time what this is telling us to do. How are we to be obedient to this passage? And I'm afraid sometimes that our understanding of this passage, or at least practically speaking, our response to this passage has kind of been limited to going forward in church. And when we think of making confession, we think of when the invitation song is sung, we walk up to the front, we sit on one of these front benches, and the preacher comes, and here's what we have to say. And many times it's a very vague and general thing. I haven't been a good example. I need to renew my commitment to God. And that's fine to do that. And there's some circumstances where that is an appropriate thing to do. But that is certainly not the extent of what we find that's involved in this passage. First of all, I want to ask the first question. What do I confess? We are told to confess, which means to say, to say out loud. What do I confess? Well, here's the tough part. Here's what makes this so hard. I am to confess my trespasses, my sins, my faults, my failures. And nobody likes to admit failure. Nobody enjoys saying, I messed up. And that's one of the things that makes this so hard. Because if we're going to do this, if we're going to be obedient to this, we are going to have to say to someone else, I messed up. Now, some of us have a really hard time with that. Some of us do not like in any situation to admit fault. You know some people like that, but I bet you're not like that. Nobody in here is like that, are they? Now, ask your spouse if you're one of those people. Ask your kids if you're one of those people. Because sometimes if we will be honest with ourselves, we will have to admit, I have a problem admitting when I'm wrong. Okay, some of us are of the late 70s generation and remember the show Happy Days. You remember Fonzie. Some of you remember Fonzie. Fonzie was the cool guy, and he could do just about everything except admit that he was. And there was a couple of times he tried, but he just couldn't quite get it out. And he said, I was not exactly right. And a lot of times we may be just like that. We need to understand that's a problem. And sometimes we don't want to admit that that's even a problem in and of itself. pride will prevent you from obeying this command. If you have too much pride to admit that you were wrong, then you will not obey this command. Because you have to say it in order to obey it. Now, not just that I did wrong, but I did this. Whatever it is that you did that was wrong. Now, it's one thing to say, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I know I've got my faults and my weaknesses. Well, what are they? Make me a list. You know, sometimes I have talked with married couples having problems in their marriage relationship. And I sit down with one of them and I talk to them, and boy, they can get them started on their spouse and why she's doing this, and he just drives me crazy on this or whatever it is. And they can make a long list of very specific faults in their husband or their wife. And so then I will ask them this question: tell me what you feel like you're doing in the relationship that's contributing to your marital problems. And here's the answers I get. Well, you know I'm not a perfect husband either. I'm not a perfect wife. I've got my faults. Okay, list them. And they have a whole lot harder time listing their own faults than they do their mate's faults. That's human nature. But we have to get specific. If we're going to confess our faults, it's not just that we have faults. We have to go beyond saying, okay, I'm not always right, sometimes I may be wrong, to this was wrong. I did this, and I have to confess that's what I did. And that's hard. Now, next question: to whom do we confess? Well, first of all, we do confess to God. And certainly He should be the first one that we deal with when we realize that we've done wrong. And the best thing that we can do is, as soon as we realize that we are guilty of sin before God, whatever sin that may be, the best thing to do is as soon as possible. Don't let it grow. Don't let it fester. Don't let it just continue on and on for weeks and months. As soon as possible, wherever you are, because you are a Christian, wherever you are and whatever circumstance you're in, you can immediately go to God and say, God, I am so sorry. I sinned, and fill in the blank with whatever it is that you did wrong, and ask for God's forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, John writes these words: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we can't claim to be without sin. And I don't know many people that would try to claim to be without sin. But then when you ask them, okay, what sins do you struggle with? Then when you start getting specific, that's where the problems come. But when we go to God, we need to confess those specific sins. Now, we deal with that with God. But that does not always take care of everything that needs to be done about that sin situation. Because we do have responsibilities to one another. Now, that does not mean that every time you do something wrong, that to fix that and to get right with God, the next church service you have to come down and sit on this bench and make your confession or whatever it is that you want to do publicly. Now, there are some situations where that is very appropriate and needs to be done. But that's not always the case. It depends on the situation as to whom you should confess your sin to. Now, if it is public, if it is a public sin, then it is appropriate and the right thing to do to confess that sin publicly. Now, if you got arrested for public intoxication and your name's published in the paper, a lot of folks know about your sin. And you have a responsibility to your church family because you have brought shame not only on your own name, the name of your family, but you have brought shame on the name of the Lord and His church. And if you are sorry, and if you have repented for what you've done, can you immediately, when you see what you've done, then ask God forgiveness and He will forgive you right then and there? Yes. You do not have to wait for the front bench to get right with God. And I think sometimes we've left that impression with people that you can't lay your head down knowing that you're right with God until you've sat on the front bench. No, no, you can get right with God anytime, any place, anywhere with genuinely penitent prayer if you are a Christian, if you are already a child of God and you have a relationship with God. But the right thing to do, because you do have a responsibility to your church family, what you do does affect other people, you need to let that be known. If you got angry and started yelling at somebody in the foyer of the church because you were upset about something and you said unkind things and you caused a scene right here in the church building and there were people around to see it happen, I guarantee you that more than just the people who saw it have heard about it. And when you realize and understand that what you did was wrong and that the way you acted was unchristian and inappropriate, no matter what the other person did that you reacted to that brought about that angry response from you, you're not responsible for them, you're responsible for yourself. And if you did something wrong, then it's the right and appropriate thing to somehow let that be known to the church and let them know that you are sorry about what happened. Don't think that you can sin publicly and not need to humble yourself to face your actions. Now, it's going to be embarrassing. Sure, it's going to be embarrassing, but you owe it to your spiritual family. Now, a lot of people think, I don't owe them anything. You know, I've got my own relationship with God. I told God I was sorry, and that's all that anybody should need. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Well, then you don't understand the relationship that God expects within His church, because we do affect each other. We are a part of the family, and we do have an obligation to one another. Now, if your sin only involves a few people and it is something that is not publicly known, then you don't necessarily need to let it be something that's publicly known to the entire church family. Deal with it with those few people that are involved and confess that sin to them and let them know, I'm sorry. And you can deal with that in that kind of context. Now, if it involves your sin against another person, then you need to, first of all, after you've gone to God, of course, you need to go to that person and face that person with your sin. Look at Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 23. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 23. Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and of course, this is still during the time of the Old Covenant, referring to the worship there. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. That tells us that our worship to God can be hindered if we refuse to work out a problem situation with another person. Now, it does not specifically say that you have sinned against this person, but that certainly is one of the things that could be the case. You remember that your brother has something against you. It may be because you did something to him. You said something to him. You acted in such a way that your sin was against another person. You hurt somebody else. And you need to face that. And that's a hard thing to do. To go to someone individually and say, I did this. And state whatever it is. Confess whatever it is that you did. And say, I am sorry. Would you please forgive me? Now, of course, this situation could apply even if we may not even be aware of what it is that we've done, but we've heard or found out that somebody has something against us. And maybe there's something we did unintentionally, but when we go to that person and we face that situation and say, you know, what's the problem? I don't want there to be any kind of tension between us going on. And that gives you an opportunity if you did something unintentionally, or if it's something that you know you did, you forgot about, and you didn't realize the impact of your words or whatever it was, then you have an opportunity to express regret and to try to work through that thing. And if we would do that, if we would do that, so many problems would be alleviated within the Lord's church. Because you need to remember, it is possible that your worship to God may not be accepted because you haven't faced your sin with somebody that you wronged. It's that serious. Now also, I want us to spend a few minutes thinking about the fact that you need to confess family sins to your family, talking about your physical family. Do you know you have the greatest potential to hurt and to wound people in your family as opposed to anybody else in the world? Because those are your closest relationships. And these are the people that you spend the most time with, hopefully, and will see you at times when you may have your guard down, or you may be stressed, or you may be upset, and you may do things that are wrong. We need to confess our family sins to our family. And they need to hear you admit your sin and ask for forgiveness. But I find many times that in a lot of families, this doesn't happen like it needs to. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes people think they're going to lose respect from their mate or from their children if they admit that they were wrong about something and say, I did this and I was wrong and I'd like for you to forgive me. Parents especially sometimes feel like if I ever admit to my child that I did something wrong, then I'll lose my sense of authority and I'll lose their respect. No, that's not the case. Most of the time, our families know when we've done something wrong. It's not a matter that they don't already recognize that we did something wrong. Now, sometimes kids will think that parents made a mistake or did something wrong when we haven't. They just disagree with a particular choice of punishment or the way we handled something, and they may think we've done something wrong when we didn't. But a lot of times, when we know that we have done something wrong, they already know that. And rather than you losing respect in the eyes of your mate, or losing respect in the eyes of your children, you will gain a tremendous amount of respect. And if what you have done has hurt, and then certainly if whether it's a sin against them or just something that they saw you do that was wrong, that has been hurtful. You have hurt your family by your sins. And they need to hear you say out loud, I'm sorry. And when there's been hurt towards them, then healing can begin to take place. There are a lot of adults who are still dealing with hurts and problems in their lives and difficulties that they have a hard time overcoming because they never heard a parent who did something to hurt them. And maybe not just we're talking about a one-time thing. We're talking about something that was repeated over and over again, that they never heard them say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And there could be so much healing that would take place if that parent, even for an adult child that's already grown, would say to that child, I know I did wrong. I know I hurt you. I know I set a terrible example with the way that I did whatever it is that I did. And you get specific about that. Oh, there could be so much healing that would begin when that takes place. And maybe you need to do that. Maybe you realize that there are some ways that you've hurt your family that you've never confessed to them that you've done. And maybe the reason that I'm here tonight is because that's what you needed to hear. Now, don't substitute. I want you to listen to me here now. Don't substitute going forward in church for the confession that you need to make eyeball to eyeball with your family, whether it's your wife or your husband or your children, in your house and in your home. And I think I've seen that happen sometimes. When maybe someone comes forward and their problem is really not with the church in general. The problem is in their family, and they've been doing some things that have been harmful to their family. They know it. They feel bad about it. When the invitation song is sung, they walk up there and they sit on the front row and they say, I have not been a good husband to my wife. Or, I have not been a good father to my kids. And it's fine to ask for prayers for that. I'm not saying that's an inappropriate thing to do, but I'm afraid sometimes people will do that and say, okay, now my family knows I'm sorry, so I don't have to deal with it with them. There have been times when I have sat with somebody on the front row who has said that to me, and sitting right on that front row, I will tell them, you need to tell your family this today, this afternoon, as soon as you go home today. You need to have a talk with them and tell them why you feel this way. Because I'm afraid that for many of us, it might be easier to get up and walk forward in church and sit down here and say some things than it would be to look at our family, look at the person that we've hurt, and admit exactly what we've done. And not just say, I haven't been a perfect husband or I haven't been a perfect father, but I've got a problem with my anger. And I know it hurts you when I scream at you in anger. And I have said things, I said that, and I did not mean that. It was hurtful to you, and I wish I could take it back. Or you saw me drunk the other night, and I am so ashamed of what I've done, and I don't want you to repeat my mistakes, and I'm going to stop. Whatever it is. Or I lied. Maybe you're a child at home that needs to tell your parents, and they probably know already. I lied to you. And I'm sorry that I lied. I want you to be able to trust me. Or maybe the same thing to your mate. There may be some sins in your life that are absolutely private sins, that as far as you know, nobody knows about but you and God. And many times we may be tempted to think, okay, nobody else knows about this one. There's nobody I needed to confess it to. My wife doesn't know. My kids don't know. The people at church don't know. My friends don't know. I've done wrong. I'll confess it to God. And if you can take care of it like that, and that's the end of it, then that's fine. And it may be there's some things that nobody needs to know about. But there are times when you've done that and you have confessed it to God and you've asked God to forgive you, but that did not end it. You continue to repeat the action over and over again. Whether it's something that happens in your mind or something that you do in times when nobody else is looking, in private or in secret, I want to suggest to you that means that sin needs to be confessed out loud to somebody else, to another person to whom you need to state what you've done and face up to it. Now, is that hard? Absolutely. But that's why God tells us, confess your sins to one another. Now, a hidden sin is more likely to be repeated and become a habit. And most likely, eventually, somebody will find out about it, but by that time, you've done a whole lot of damage to yourself, to your mind, to your spirit, to your relationship with God. You need to confess that to somebody else. Some people are having problems with alcohol and drugs, and somehow they've been able to hide it. Now, you'll not be able to hide that forever. Somebody's going to find out. But if you have an issue with drugs, if you have an issue with alcohol, and you realize it's wrong, but you're not telling anybody, you're not facing your sin, you need to confess that to somebody. If you've got an issue with pornography, And that's something that is grabbing the minds and the hearts of so many more people in our day and time than what it used to, because it's so much more accessible than what it used to be through the media that we have, and especially through the internet. It's a horrible thing that is grabbing a hold of the minds of people, and many times it's Christian people, especially young Christian men. Not always. It's not always men. There's more and more women today that are actually getting involved in pornography than there used to be. And it's not always young men. It's sometimes older men as well. But this is something that people struggle with. And if you keep it private and nobody, you never talk to anybody else about it, and you have, if it's happened again and again, and you have felt guilty and said, "God, I'm sorry, but it keeps happening," you're not able to handle this by yourself. You need to go and confess that sin to someone else. You really do. Because it will likely continue. I know a young man that was a church leader. And after some years of struggling with this sin, it was discovered, because someone found it on his laptop computer that he used at the church office. Now, he lost his job over this situation, and that was the right thing to have happen. But one of the things that he did in the process of healing was go back to even some other congregations that he had worked with while he was having this problem. This problem went on for several years. And he had worked with more than one congregation during this period of time. And he went back to some of these congregations and confessed, "I have this problem. I had this problem." And one of the things that he said is, "If you have this problem, don't hide it and keep it to yourself." He had some close friends. He had some close, strong Christian friends. But he did not talk to them about it. And it wound up being found out. And his family suffered shame and disgrace, and his life was damaged because he did not confess his sin to someone else. There are people who may be getting involved with the temptation to commit adultery. And you know that there's someone else that you're starting to get a little too close to, that's stirring some feelings within you that you know that should be reserved for your spouse, and maybe it has not gotten to the point of actual adultery yet, but you're being drawn and you're being tempted, and it's continuing on, and you're going down a road that you realize very likely could lead to this. You need to talk to somebody about it. You need to confess that sin to somebody else. And we could put all kinds of other sins in the blank. There are issues of heart problems, and sometimes we think of these other sins as being big sins like that. But if we have a heart problem where we're letting our heart become filled with bitterness, envy, or resentment, that's a serious situation. And that might be a hidden thing, but it's poisoning us inside because there's somebody that's maybe hurt us or done us wrong. And we're just letting ourselves get eaten up with anger and resentment and bitterness about us. And it's killing our spirit. We need to talk to somebody about it. We need to confess to someone, "I have this problem. I'm being eaten up with envy or resentment or this bitterness or hatred towards someone else." Find someone you can trust to give you godly spiritual guidance and confess your sin to them. Now, part of our reluctance is, "I don't know if I can trust somebody. What if I make myself vulnerable and I call somebody up and say, 'I need to have lunch with you,' or 'I need to come by your house and talk to you,' or whatever situation that you choose, and you face them and you say and you tell them what you've done. What if they are not true to your trust? And you're afraid that they're going to go and tell someone else?" Well, that's why you have to be careful in your choice. You make sure, first of all, it is someone that you have good reason to be able to trust. You also need to make sure that it's someone who is a godly, spiritual person, who knows the Word of God, who knows what's right and wrong, and who's going to give you good counsel, good guidance, and make sure that you are guided in the right direction. So be careful in your choice. And make sure that it's somebody you believe genuinely cares about you. But find that person. Make that phone call. Go up to them and say, "I need to talk to you sometime." Make the appointment. Sit down and do it. Your soul may depend on it. Back about 17 years ago, I found myself struggling with a sin. And I felt guilty about it, and I decided, I knew that I shouldn't. I prayed to God, Lord, I'm sorry, please help me. It wasn't the last time that it happened. I had a friend that I knew cared about me. And we planned to go fishing one day. And I knew this place of quiet and away from everybody else, it was my chance. And I believed what the Word of God said, that I needed to confess my faults. And so I did. And as we were fishing that day, I told my friend what I was guilty of. And you know what else I told him? I said, "I don't want you to be gentle with me. I don't want you to just give me nothing but encouragement. I want you to tell me that I could go to hell for this. Because that's what I needed to hear. I already knew it. I just needed to hear it." And thankfully, my friend cared enough about me that he did not minimize what I had done. So, oh, that's not near as bad as what a lot of other people do. It was sin, and it needed to be dealt with, and I needed to hear, "You've got to change, and I will help you." Now, I want us to ask this question: what good comes from my confession? Here's what good comes from confession. It forces you to face your sin as sin. And I remembered when I heard my voice saying out loud what I had done, it shocked me to hear my voice saying those words. You need to hear yourself say what you've done. Because you can play mind games with yourself. You can justify things to yourself. You can tell yourself it's not that big a deal. A lot of people, other people do a lot worse. Or I have some reason why it's understandable that I would do this. But when you confess that to someone, you hear your words say that. That helps you stop playing mind games of rationalization. And it makes you accountable to somebody else. Somebody else knows now. It gives you a voice of reason to guide you to do what's right. You need that voice of reason, and you choose carefully. You're less likely to repeat the same sin in the future. And I believe very likely because I was willing to talk to my friend about this situation, I was willing to confess this, that I was able to overcome it. If I had not, there's no telling where this wrong could have taken me and what road that I could have gone down. But you're accountable to someone else that you know will be asking you about it in the future. And it shows to yourself, to God, and to others that you are genuinely repentant. Because if you keep on doing whatever wrong it is until somebody finds out and you get caught, and then all of a sudden you say, "Oh, I'm sorry," people will wonder. Now, they shouldn't judge you, Only you and God know where your heart really is, but sometimes you may even wonder about yourself. Am I really sorry that I'm doing this, or am I just sorry that I got caught? But if you don't wait to be caught, and if it's something that you know that you need to stop that no one else knows about, you confess it first before someone else finds out, then you know in your heart, God knows, and other people know, I really am sorry. I have another friend who was also a church leader who got involved in adultery. Nobody else except him and the woman knew about it. But it was eating him up inside. And he knew he had to stop. He was genuinely repentant, and he went to his wife. He confessed the sin to his wife. And together, the two of them went and talked to the elders of the church about it. Now, he lost his job, which is exactly what needed to happen. But in all the hurt and the pain and the terrible things that came from as a result of that sin, I believe that one of the reasons why both this man, my friend, and his wife were able to stay together, the other woman who was also a Christian was able to stay together with her husband and salvage their marriages and keep their families together, is because there was genuine repentance. And when you confess that sin, you can know that that's the case. Now, in closing, I want to give some guidance to you if you are the person that someone else chooses to confess their sin to. And you might say, oh, I don't want to be in that situation. Well, no, maybe you don't. It's not an easy spot to be, but it's a very important place to be. Because if somebody chooses to tell you something that they've done, they've put a tremendous confidence and trust in you for guidance. What should you do? First of all, listen and care. Genuinely care. Second, don't respond with disgust and condemnation. Even if what they've done is disgusting and deserves condemnation, don't respond immediately with disgust and condemnation. Let them know they did the right thing by confessing it. Don't minimize the sin in any way. Take it seriously and be clear with them about what's at stake and offer help in overcoming the sin. And make sure you follow up in asking how they're doing. And finally, and this brings us to the last part of the passage that is also crucial, pray with that person and for that person. The rest of the verse says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. A righteous person's prayer is powerful and effective. You see, the thing we want to see happen is for there to be healing from sin's devastating effects. And there needs to be prayer. And when you go to God with someone else and you say, Lord, please help this person to overcome this sin. And you say with another person, God, please help me to overcome this sin. Thank you for this person who has cared enough about me to listen to this and to pray with me. There can be real change because prayer is powerful and effective if it comes from those who are righteous. Now, I ask you, what is it in your life that needs to be confessed? I like to think that every time I go somewhere to speak, that there's somebody there in that audience that I was there for them, or this subject, the Word of God, was for them at this time and at this place. In a crowd this size, there's somebody here that needs to confess something. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is, and God knows what it is. And I want to pray for you right now as we close. Father in heaven, we wish so much that we didn't have sin to come to you with. We wish so much that our sins had not caused Jesus to have to die on that cross and for his blood to have to be shed and his suffering to take place to pay the price for that sin. But Father, we are so thankful that he did. And Lord, we know that there are so many times in our lives when it's been so good to let go of the guilt of sin. But Lord, we know that you ask us to confess that sin to you. And sometimes, Lord, we need to confess it to others. And Lord, right now, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that needs to confess something to someone, that they will choose whatever is the appropriate way to deal with that and confess that. And not just confess, but to truly repent and to truly change. Because we know, Lord, that the sin destroys our lives. And that's why you've told us to stay away from it. Father, please help us. We know that we'll never totally and completely overcome all sin in our lives. But we know that the longer we hold on to it and continue in it, it will wreck and destroy us. And not only us, Father, but those around us. Lord, if there are people that need to confess to their families about things that they've done that they need to be forgiven for, we pray that you will help them to have the strength to do that. If there's someone here tonight that needs to share something with the church family, we pray that they'll have the strength to do that. But Father, we thank you for the joy of forgiveness when your blood once again washes us and makes us clean, because we know that you've said, if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, it's so good to be clean. And we bring you this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.